What is going on, Thunder fans? It is that time of year again. For the first time in almost 5 years, the Thunder are back in the playoffs. And BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season. From MLB golf, the MLB and NHL playoff stats, all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet online, where the game starts. And welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Top Thunder Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Huntzinger at Thunder Chats, where you're part of the B-League Network. This podcast is brought to you by betonline.ag. Now that's out of the way, I'm joined by three level gentlemen. We got a quad pod today. We got Return of the Mats today. We got Alex and Wayne Manor today. Like, it's a fun pod. The vibes are high. So I already talked about him. So, hey, Alex, how you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I thought I would feel a little bit differently, with us being eliminated from the playoffs, but you know, it was just a feeling of mass appreciation and mass, you know, content for how this season went. So I'm happy for the Thunder. I'm happy for how far they made it. And I'm terribly excited for what's in store for the future for this team.
Yep, absolutely, man. I mean, it's vibes are staying high. You know, it was definitely a little bit lower after the loss, but you know, looking at perspective, look at things from 30,000 feet, you know, and a couple days removed, it's like, you know, we were way ahead of schedule, and we know what we needed to do now, and we have all the pieces to do that. So we're gonna talk a little bit about that today as well. But speaking of one of the Return of the Mats, we've got the podcast producer extraordinaire, the cockroach connoisseur himself, Matt Tierney, Matty Double Dribbles. What up, Tierney?
I'm good.
I can't hear anything right now because my headphones just bleeped out for some reason. But I guess you guys can still hear me. I'm coping. I'm dealing with it. It's fine. The season ended a lot sooner than I wanted it to. But that's all right. I'm in my basement just venting about it, and I got plenty of bourbon and scotch, so I'm all right.
That was crazy because I was like, yo, Tierney, what's up? And then Wolf started talking Tierney's a bit.
He's the podcast producer now. He's the podcast producer. That's I've lost that title. I hate to say it.
I got to add ventriloquist to your intro from now on, Tierney.
Yeah. I'm good. I was saying before we started, I'm like – in a fight with my DoorDash driver right now because he's not coming to my house when he was supposed to. So I'm going to be leaving very abruptly.
It's not a cockroach, it's a DoorDash driver.
Yeah, I'm on the phone with him. He's bugging me. I've waited an hour and a half for my food. So I'm going to be having to dip out for like a brief second at some point. I don't know when. But other than that, I'm fine. Right now when we're taping, the Celtics Pacers game is crazy. Like, I don't know if we were going to ever mention that at the end, but I just wanted to shout that out for a second because the Celtics might be a little bit in trouble, even though they kind of blow it at the end.
They got it now.
They might be. It's just a good
one step back three. Yeah.
They're you're ahead of me. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I apologize for the spoilers, but
it's okay. But anyway, I did want to say shout out to our last stream. It was like the best we've done in a 24-hour span in potentially ever. I didn't check all the analytics, and like half of the comments were just Mavs fans in there. So like, shout out all the haters helping our numbies. Yeah. We appreciate you. You're welcome to stick around. You know, that's fine by us. So just, you know, appreciate that a little bit. But yeah, I'm doing a little bit better since Friday when we kind of were raw from the loss in the series ending, but a lot to talk about. Exit interviews happened, some trade targets, a lot of good stuff to mention.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, you know, as I mentioned, you know, there's a lot of options for the Thunder and, you know, a lot of different ways you can go about, you know, filling in the needs that you think you need. And, you know, we'll definitely talk about that. But, you know, you mentioned we did have the exit interviews on, what was it? It was Sunday, right?
I think it was the day after?
Yeah, it was Sunday.
Yeah, it was Sunday.
Yeah. Sorry, I have my days all mixed up, which, like, quick turnaround, by the way, on the exit interviews. Usually, I feel like there's, like, a day in between, but, like, there's, like, no.
I mean, I'm pretty sure if they're that series would have been against a team in, like, California, it probably would have been on Monday. But since it was literally just, like, a 45-minute plane ride to and fro,
they
were able to get a good, you know, good amount of sleep and just had the exit interviews.
Yeah.
First. Well, fellas, I don't think it's super prudent to talk about, like, every person exit interview. Yeah. So what I think I'm going to do, and I think we've done in the past too, I think we're going to take the single large item approach here with the exit interviews. And I think, you know, we'll each kind of go out and highlight something we want to talk about in the exit interviews, whether it was good, whether it was bad, and, you know, kind of start a discussion off of that. So, Alex, you know, press for time, man. I'm gonna let you go first. Like, you got the first thing, large item.
I mean, I guess I'll just go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off and just start with the bad. You know, the whole Gordon Hayward thing. What you saw there, that is the death throes of a superstarish player starting to realize that their career is on the extreme downside. Trajectory. We saw that with Carmelo Anthony. We saw that with not necessarily a superstar per se, but Markieff Morris kind of did the same thing whenever his exit interview was whenever he was with the Thunder, as far as, like, not being used the right way. And, you know, I love this team. I love the guys on this team, but I wasn't used the right way. What you're seeing is the death throes of that. And it sucks. It does. But a lot of that for Gordon is on him. You know, the way he played is not the way that we've seen Gordon Hayward play. And so for him to put the blame on he didn't put the blame while putting the blame on, like, the scheme, on, like, the coaching staff, on, like, you know, how they played him, how they used him. For him to do that showed a shit ton of immaturity when you compare it to, like, you know, the young guys that were talking, that were showing a ton of maturity, you know, guys like Josh Giddey, guys like, you know, Cason Wallace, just kind of evaluating their season, just showing a ton of maturity and a ton of, like, self-awareness, as opposed to, like, this guy that we thought was going to be the guy that showed that. They're going to be the guy that showed maturity and showed self-awareness, you know, him not doing that. And I get it, you know, probably that's him just trying to save face for the next contract. You know, it's smart business move, I guess, if you want to look at it that way. But, you know, we talked about it time and time again that this guy is not even being aggressive. You know, this guy's, I don't know if he was protecting himself from an injury. I don't know. You know, I don't know. But the player that we thought we were getting, the player that Dylan wrote an entire article about, was not the player that we got. No. And so for him to come out there and kind of put the onus on the team for not using him correctly, I thought was a little bit of bullshit. But again, it's the death throes of a player that was once a star no longer being in that role. You know, now being asked to be a role player whenever they feel like they don't, you know, they're not there yet, or they feel like the money of a role player is not going to be the same as the money of a star like he used to be. Again, Carmelo Anthony, Allen Iverson, we've seen this before. And so, yeah, I just thought it was BS that he was the one that kind of put a damper on what was a positive vibe environment when, you know, with the rest of the team. So, yeah.
I don't know if we want to listen to it. I had it pulled up. Alex.
It's a minute 40 seconds. Yeah, we don't got
it. Yeah. Yeah, I pulled it. I was like, that's a little too long of a clip.
I just say the way he played for us, he needs to change his name to Gordon Wayward, because that's the rest of his career henceforth.
Got him.
The dude, he had so many opportunities to, like, get his own bucket. He was one-on-one with matchup issues for the defense, and he didn't take advantage. Yeah. Like, he looked like he was allergic to the basketball. And so, like, I'm sorry, bro. Like, it's got to be some type of record for most minutes played in the playoffs without scoring a single point. Like the Tony Snell special or whatever. Like, it's ridiculous what he
did. I think Cone did say that, actually, after the series. That I think he had, like, the record for the most minutes without a field goal made or something like that. But, yeah, it wasn't even, like, the unwillingness to score, like, or even, like, attempt a shot one-on-one. He had open looks, man. I'm like, we're not even just talking about playoffs. We're talking about the regular season. Like, he was getting open looks. He was playing with, like, great playmakers. He was playing with a great spacing offense, like, one of the best offenses in the league. And, you know, he wouldn't even look at the rim. Like,
what was that game where he had an open look? It was at the end of the game. He had an open look, and he passed it off to Josh Giddey for a three-point that ended up being either a bad shot or a shot clock violation or something like that.
Yeah.
It was just like,
I remember. I don't know what game, but I remember that.
It was still like, come on, man. Like, no, that's you. Yeah. That's the role we wanted you in.
It's like there's the extra pass and there's the extra dumb pass, and that was the extra dumb pass. But yeah, no, it's like I tweeted about it, you know, whenever all that happened, and, you know, it felt like he thought his role on this team was supposed to be prime Rondo, because it felt like he was passing to a fault. Like, there was many times he would even drive and, like, you know, get to the rim, and it's like, oh no, I'm going to pass it out. Open shot, 3-pointer, and I'm going to pass it out.
I was like, mouse in the house situation, pass it out.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it felt like he thought he was prime Rondo, but we just wanted him to be poor man's Manu Ginobili. Like, a guy that can do a little bit of shooting, a little bit of driving, a little bit of passing. That's all we was asking him to do, like, in very limited minutes. But
we wanted him to be the haymaker.
And yeah,
I found that I wanted to show this. This was, who was this that posted this? Thunder Talk had, I love this was, I laughed at this video. This is basically what we're saying. Gordon Hayward does. He just, like, just like two guys just like passing the ball back, like, over
supreme,
and over.
Supreme dream.
Like, this is what Hayward's, like, whole time was here at OKC. And, like, the thing with me, like, the only thing I wanted to add on to that was, like, we're going to talk about some of the other post game interviews, but all of them and Mark and the players, like, the message was very clearly, like, very like, the individual doesn't matter. It's like, buy into the team, like, don't be selfless. And then his interview was just so different from all of that. It was like, okay, you're clearly not, like, with this team. You're not, like, here for this team. Even though he, like, kind of said the right things at the right time, like, that moment right there, I was like, okay, you're here for you. You're here to, like, try to get your career back. And I understand he's had, like, injuries. He's, like, trying to, you know, get his last, like, maybe not big contract, but last, like, contract in the NBA. But just a bad look in that moment. Like, you got to know in that place and time that's like, teams are not going to like that very much. At least good teams with good organizations are not going to like the way that sounds.
And if it wasn't for some random tip, at trying to just tip it in off a rebound, grandma would still be in her cage. So.
Yep. Honestly, poor, like, grandma should probably still be in her cage. Like,
shout out.
I don't even know if we consider that a field goal attempt, but, you know, it's it is what it is, man. I'm kind of tired of talking about Gordon Hayward because, I mean, he ain't gonna be here no more. Yeah, man.
I gotta step out.
Here's the thing. There have been other players that have gone and left that we consider Thunder legends.
Mm-hmm.
Gordon Hayward is dead to me. As far as a player, as far as, like, me saying, oh, you mean Thunder legend Gordon Hayward? Nah, screw that. He's dead to me. I don't, you know, I want to erase anything in my memory. I want to Men in Black, you know, memory stick the Gordon Hayward experience in Oklahoma City.
He's no Kelly Oubre.
No, he's not.
It's like the Hakeem Olajuwon on the Raptors jersey. That's what we're going to think about when
Patrick Ewing with the Seattle Supersonics.
Yeah. Shaq and, like, any of those last few teams he was on. So, yeah, shout out Gordon Hayward. You know, hope things
shout
work out for
that.
You.
Screw that.
But it won't be in OKC, so that's all good. All right, let's go to, well, I guess Tierney's getting his food, so I'm going to go ahead and go to Moles. Moles, what's your single watch item for the exit interviews?
Well, I think it was taken out of context, but I will go with the other Jalen Williams here because everybody's trying to find any context clues they can to figure out the future of one Josh Giddey. And Jay Will talked about how Giddey is his dude. He's going to continue to talk to him and he'll always be his guy. Kind of iterating that there might be a timeline that doesn't involve Giddey and OKC next year. Not saying I'm an advocate for that or I'm against it one way or another. I trust the prestige here, but that was pretty interesting phrasing from him. And I may be, you know, pulling a lot out of it, but it feels like the team understands the situation with his looming extension and where the team's going and the lack of the fit and the can't play canter type of playoff stretch that we had with him. So that was pretty interesting to me that that was able to be pulled out. Maybe it came across differently than Jay Will was wanting it to, but I mean, words matter and the way that you speak matters. And it seemed as though there have been some conversations and that's certainly on people's mind, even if it's a type of slip with the way that he said it. It was just very interesting to me with that. I didn't necessarily take the low-hanging fruit because there's a lot else there you guys can get after, but you can maybe tie that in with Giddey if you want to on your single large item. But I think that's probably the most interesting nugget out of something that really there aren't a lot of nuggets to come out of the Thunder in a media wrap-up postseason. That seemed to be the most, like, okay one after the Gordon Hayward stuff to me.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, I mean, I tweeted out like the Drewski. What do you mean by that? Whenever that quote came out, but yeah, that was mainly just a joke. I wasn't taking anything Jay Will Williams said as you know, like a as gospel with the whole Giddey thing. Yeah, I was just kind of playing into it a little bit, but yeah, no, I don't think that the players have any indication what's going to happen to Josh Giddey. You know, obviously there's been some reports, fake reports out there about, you know, teams being interested in Giddey. And I even put out the question about what people on Twitter like thinks the best team to maximize Josh Giddey is. And, you know, I even said NBA team. So you didn't say Shanghai Sharks or anything like that. Like I was trying to gatekeep for him on that. And then, you know, I even told people that was like saying, Josh is this, Josh is that, like he could be so good for us. I'm like, okay, cool. Say Thunder. And like, dude, there was like 450 replies. Like everybody's got an opinion on like where, you know, what Josh can do to thrive. And it's very clear, you know, I mean, just, I'll go ahead and like transition into mine. You know, I'll talk about the whole Josh Giddey exit interview because he was very candid. Like, you know, if you ask any of the guys that were there on media day, they said that, you know, he was candid, he was vulnerable, he was emotional, and he was professional, like, you know, while being, you know, emotional and vulnerable and stuff like that about, you know, the struggles of the season. You know, not just the off-court stuff, but the on-court stuff with, you know, how teams were guarding him, you know, being benched in the playoffs and, like, you know, not letting that bother him. And he even said, like, you know, the first, like, what was it you said? I don't remember.
The Mavs game. The first Mavs game.
Well, no, before that. He said, like, the first 20 games or first 2 months or, like, first section of the season, he was being a bad teammate. And, like, he, you know, he owned up to that. I'm like, that takes a big man to, you know, admit something like that. And it kind of goes back to what I was saying about, you know, the Josh Giddey from, like, the first part of the season and the Josh Giddey we saw from March to April, like, completely different basketball player. And so, you know, it kind of played into that. And I think that he's, you know, he's likened himself to some of the naysayers and the doubters of the fan base with his exit interview, with his vulnerability, you know, with him, you know, just like being authentic about the whole situation and, you know, not sulking in it, you know, not like holding a grudge against the coaching staff or his teammates. He even said, you know, like I thought Zay was great in my role, or, you know, in the starting role whenever he came in there for me. you know, sticking up for his teammate. Like, I think that he's likening himself to a lot of the fan base that was kind of praying on his downfall a little bit, because you'd be shocked out of all those replies. Like, there's a lot of people that, you know, was like playing along about, like, you know, a team that, you know, Giddey could be maximized at. But a lot of people was like, hey, I think that he can be maximized at the Thunder, you know, whether they think he's a starter or whether they think he should run the second unit. Like, there was a lot more people than I would have ever expected, say, Giddey. So I think, you think back to, you know, friend of the podcast, Mike Muscala, you know, he got really emotional whenever he asked about, like, what it meant to him to play for Oklahoma City. And, you know, that really endeared himself to the fan base. And, you know, he found, like, a really soft spot in, you know, a lot of Thunder fans' hearts. And, you know, a lot of Thunder fans were really excited, you know, whenever he came back on the team. It remains to be seen if that's going to be the case with Giddey, but, you know, it definitely feels that way amongst a lot of the fan base right now. So
I think, the only other thing I wanted to add on that, I did want to share a clip from this interview, like, kind of reiterating what you mentioned, Dylan, with sort of his, like, emotions about all of it. And to be honest, and this is just my opinion, I went into, you know, the post-game interviews, and we talked about it on Friday, being sort of like, okay, Giddey's probably going to be gone this offseason. And then I was watching this, and it kind of swayed my opinion a little bit. I'll explain after I share this one part here at the end. If you guys can hear it.
How mentally taxing was this season, and then how did you get over that?
Yeah, I mean, this is probably the biggest challenge I've ever gone through. You know, those for a number of reasons, obviously, and you know, I think mentally is the part that gets overlooked the most for any player. And, you know, it's so easy for people to, you know, see what's happening on the floor, but not see what happens behind the scenes. And then there's so much more to a person than basketball. And that's for anyone, not just me. And, you know, I think you have a couple bad games, you start to get in your own head. Maybe you lose confidence, whatever the case may be. But for me, I've just tried to stay within the team as much as I can this year. And that's been the thing for me that I found has worked the best. When you come in every day, you get, you know, you get amongst the team, and you get, you stay within the group. And that's what cheers guys up, and that's what gets you back on the right path. And as I said, I'm really lucky to have good people around me that really care and really are there for you. And, you know, there's definitely been days and stretches throughout this year that have been tough. You know, it's not a secret, but, you know, I just tried to come in every day, do the best I could, and be the best teammate I could.
So, yeah, that was a little long, but the point is, like, he's obviously, like, really emotional about it. And I'm here's where I'm at now with Giddey. This is just my opinion. I think as a player, he probably wants to go somewhere else because it's, like, fit wise and all of that. I think as a human being and just, like, as a person, like, there's probably not a better place to go than Oklahoma City. Like, just like that stuff you're hearing is our culture and our, like, sort of, you know, whatever you want to call it, buy-in or whatever other word you want to use. Like, that, I genuinely think that, maybe this is crazy, but I think he, on Giddey's camp, this could be different for the Thunder. They could go a different way. They have the final say. But I think Giddey's camp probably wants to stay. I don't think he wants to go anywhere. Even though, like, fit-wise, it's not working out, I think you could probably figure out, like, hey, it's not working right now, but I love this place. I love these guys. I love this culture. I'm going to work in the lab or do whatever I can to, like, refigure things out. He's still young. He's still 21. Like, I actually do think there's a decent chance he actually stays next year. How his fit is, I don't know. But that clip really, like, made me sway kind of a direction there. Hmm. Go ahead, Alex.
So as much as I would like to agree, so I'm going to disagree, but just from the context of,
totally fine, by the way. That's fine.
No. Just from the context of what kind of career and what kind of trajectory do you want to take? And I think Giddey is way too young to be settling for like a role player role. If he can, you know, if he can change that, if he has the power, if he has the will, if he has the skill and the age to still change that and still possibly be one of the greats of the game, which is what every player, especially young players, strives for in the game. And so I think because his extension is coming up, or the possibility of extension, restricted free agency, what, you know, with all that coming up, I think it's best, not just for the Thunder, but also for the Giddy camp, to try to see what he can do with another team and try to see if he can replicate those, you know, that second year 16-9-8 type season. Because if you could put that together, then you're almost guaranteed to be like a $18 to $22 million player a year. If you stay here and you continue on with this role as like this role player that, you know, let's say he stays on the team. Let's say he still has another year where he plays like he did in the second half of the year, but he still has games where he, you know, reverberates back to first half of the year Giddy. And let's say the playoffs come around and kind of the same thing happens in the playoffs. You know, his minutes get shrunk to 10 to 11 minutes a game. I don't think he wants that. I think he wants to go ahead and try to, or his camp or himself would like to go to a situation where he can try to replicate that second year, first year, second year type trajectory and be the main ball handler on a team instead of being a role player, which, you know, great. You're in the NBA, you're a role player. But if you want to continue on and get as much money as possible, as much earning power as possible for your career, you can't stay on that trajectory. You need to go ahead and kind of, you know, fly on your own and blossom on your own. And so I think, you know, he was saying the right things, and he may feel that as a person. Remember, we draft people, not players. Mm-hmm. But as a player, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure he's going to want to try to maximize his earning potential and try to maximize his ability to show himself as a player. And he's going to go into the Olympics this year and be mm-hmm. that type of player. Not necessarily be a role player.
Yeah.
And so heading into camp next year, is it going to be a situation where he's like, oh crap, I was playing this way in the summer, and now I got to relocate my skill set back to being a role player.
Yeah. I think that this summer will be a good opportunity for him to recoup some of the value that he lost as an asset in the playoffs, because you know, you can easily spin, like if you're Sam Presti, like, yeah, he's not going to look great as, you know, a role player, second option, like throw him in the corner or anything like that. But if, you know, he has a good summer in the Olympics, which, you know, Australia, they're not going to be like, you know, one of the like Canada, US, Serbia team, something like that. But like, they're still a pretty good team. Like, you know, when it comes to like the world sphere, you know, they qualify for the Olympics. Like, you know, that's huge in and of itself. And Josh Giddey was, you know, a huge part of that in the FIBA World Cup game. So, you know, I think that Josh Giddey, you know, with the ball in his hands on the Olympic stage, this is a great chance for him to recoup some value. You know, maybe Presti is able to work something out beforehand, that'd be awesome, so we just don't got to worry about it. But, you know, maybe he could springboard that into an opportunity to, you know, extract a little bit more value out of the young Gidster, because I don't want to get it twisted, but I don't wish ill will on this guy. I don't think he's a terrible player. There's a lot of people that was commenting on my post saying, like, you're honestly saying he shouldn't be in the NBA? I'm like, show me where I said that, sir. I did not say that. I think that he is a good basketball player. He is just in a bad fit right now. And I think it's mutually beneficial if both sides part ways. I said that all year long. I said that exact phrase like 365 days this year. But, you know, I think that he put his best foot forward to try to make it work. It didn't work. Sam Presti and co. wanted to see what this team looked like in the playoffs. It didn't work. I think there's an obvious answer. I mean, there's a few answers, but I think there's an obvious one that needs to be addressed. And I want to go ahead and ask you guys the question. I want to kind of flip this into a different discussion here, because, you know, I asked that question on Twitter. I want to hear what you guys think. Moles, you've been quiet. So I want to see, what team do you think, what NBA team, so nobody says Shanghai Sharks or anything, what NBA team do you think could best maximize Josh Giddey? And it could be the Thunder.
The former employer of somebody he spent probably the most time with in the organization. Chip England used to be the shooting coach for the Spurs. I think that would be a great organization for him to go to. I think
that'd be cool.
He is a play initiator. I think he could control the ball. He would be interesting in a fit. Being able to do some type of pick and roll action with Wimby, pick and pop action with Wimby. I think that he would be a very valuable piece to what they want to do. And he wouldn't have to be, he wouldn't have to be the star there. Mm. They already have one who can take a lot of the pressure off, but he would have opportunities to initiate a bunch of offense. And then ideally you'd surround Giddy and Wimby with shooters to allow for spacing. And then Giddy can drive and dish or drive and hit Wimby on a back door or whatever. Like, there's some fun things you could do with that team given that pairing, but like, it's gonna take an organization that's willing to accept flaws. They just drafted Sochan, right? Like, they drafted Primo. Like, they've drafted guys that have had glaring issues, and they're willing to overlook some of those because they see the potential in what they can provide with their strengths. So I think that organization's a great fit, and I think a lot of people are actually sleeping on them as a potential suitor for Giddy.
Yeah, no, I could definitely see that
one too. I agree with that 100%.
And we know that he won't be able to get lobs to Wembanyama.
Well, it might not matter because, you know, Wimby's just like,
he's just throwing it up there. It doesn't matter where it goes.
There's an F at Wimby's up there somewhere.
Well, I mean, hell, I mean, at least get throw somebody on that Spurs team that could get you an entrance plan, entrance pass into the lane. Yeah. A good, you know, a good bounce pass, a good just like setup pass. Like, they could not do that at all this year.
He could be the guy.
Yeah, I think he could be good in San Antonio. I think that you guys know I don't like Jeremy Sochan, but I think that, you know, a Giddy Sochan type swap, like not just straight up, I think that there would have to be, you know, something going on there. But I think, you know, Giddy going to Spurs, Sochan to the Thunder, like it makes a lot of sense. I think, you know, Keldon Johnson and Giddy, I think that also makes sense. I'd like that better, you know, Keldon Johnson, UK guy. Makes a little bit more money, though, so I understand the pushback on that. But, yeah, I think that's definitely a team that makes sense. Alex, did you have somebody else you want to bring up? I mean, you obviously probably think the Spurs as well, but, like, is there another team that you would think?
I mean, so I like the – you know, I saw that the Wizards were a team that was high on the list as far as, like, potential, you know, prop bet type situation. I think that's – that's a good situation for him because I believe it's a good situation, number one, because that's a team that does not have any expectations. That's a team that he can go to and play the role that he is more suited to playing. It's going to be a bad team, and he got a lot of his real good stats, real good-looking stats on a bad team, on a bad Thunder team. And so that can help to kind of boost up his Q rating, boost up his earning ability. And honestly, the Wizards – if you can set it up to where you start off with a playmaker, a point guard, then you can kind of start to fill out after, you know, around that. Cause you got Koulibaly. He's a defensive demon. You know, who else do you have? You don't have anybody else as far as young players that you really want to build.
Jordan Poole.
Yeah. Jordan Poole. Yeah. Watch out now. Avdija maybe, you know, but I think any move we're probably asking for Avdija. We're probably not asking for we're probably asking for Avdija. Young 23-year-old jack of all trades, basically what we envision Giddy being, but with a little bit better shooting. And so the Will Dawkins connection, you know, the Will Dawkins was heavy, was real big on drafting Giddy whenever we did draft him. And so it could be, you know, it could be a perfect fit as far as Sam calling his former, you know, his former protege and saying, hey, you loved this guy whenever you were here. How about it?
It's like, hey, take him and we'll take Bull. I'll call Koulibaly. Everybody's happy.
That's not going to happen.
That'd be great.
Yeah. They can have 12 then.
Yeah, I think that I think the Wizards make – I'm with you because I think that, you know, like I was saying with the whole Olympics thing, I think that there's a chance that – I mean, it's very low because I think that it would be dumb at this point for Giddy not to, you know, sign – any extension that's like kind of given to him. But if he wants to bet on himself, if he goes to a team that, you know, is like the Wizards and he has all the opportunity in the world and he has the ball in his hands and he gets to cook, like he could really juice his numbers up for one season and then kind of go out and restrict a free agency and find a team where, A, they're going to let you have the ball in your hands because they know that, like, that's where you thrive. But also they're going to pay you more and they're probably a better team than the Washington Wizards. So I think that something like that makes a lot of sense. I was trying to think of another team because, like, it literally felt like they threw out almost every team in the NBA in my mentions on this. But
I'm selfishly Jazz, but that's just to get Lowry. But I don't really
because they need a point guard
fit. I don't think it's worth though in the culture though. I don't know.
Well, weren't the Wizards plus 450 and then the Jazz were plus 500 or something? I think the Jazz were second on that list.
Yeah.
I mean, you look down the line, you look at any team, especially a bad team that doesn't have a point guard. He would kind of be a fit on those teams, you know. And so you look at teams like San Antonio, teams like, you know, the Wizards. Obviously Portland has Scoot.
Phoenix,
yeah, they could, but who are we going to get?
Who could we possibly get from Phoenix?
They got enough
Phoenix.
We
do need a power forward.
Who is a power forward for the Phoenix Suns?
Can somebody do like a mock up of a picture of like maybe Kevin Durant in a Thunder uniform?
Okay,
let's see if I can
whip up an edit here.
I wonder what that would look like.
Hold on, guys.
I'm in the lab.
Photoshop that can do that.
Oh, whoa, guys, hold on. I just did a quick Photoshop. Look at this. Look how many I did. Wow. I did all that right now.
Wow. Look at that.
Look at that.
Jerry is nuking a pool with chlorine as we speak right now, just to like.
Probably is.
Change the game.
AI is amazing.
Imagine it. Look at this. Make it. Wow. Look at that.
Wow.
All right.
Wow.
We've had our fun. But no.
Hey, can I make my last final thing before I go?
I'd be insulted if you didn't.
Well, hey. I mean, just kind of putting a bow tie on this season. So myself and Maddie Double Dribbles here, you know, we're both teachers. We're both educators.
Well, and we're no longer.
Well, hey, I mean, you are
about
year,
that.
You know.
Yeah, this year.
So we both went through graduation with our students, you know, and kind of. Looking at that and then trying to mirror it towards the Thunder in this season, I hope everybody enjoyed this season. I hope everybody is able to look back at this season and just look at it with joy because this is going to be the last season for a while that we don't attach expectations to the season. And I look at it and I say that this was the Thunder's high school graduation. You know, we looked at them and we saw them grow up before our eyes, and we were so, you know, we were so gracious about it. We were so prideful about it, and this was great. This season was awesome. This was their high school graduation. After this, the expectations are that they grow up. The expectations are that they mature, and we're talking about a very mature group. Don't get me wrong, but. As myself, Tierney, everybody on this podcast has been a high school senior before. I'm pretty sure even after we were high school seniors, we somehow, some way disappointed our parents in some fashion.
Many times.
Yes.
Many times.
The possibility that the Thunder can disappoint us is going to be there because the expectations are now there. You know, if the Thunder go into next season and they don't make it out of the second round, honestly, it's going to be a disappointment. I don't think next year is going to be championship or bust, but I do think next year is going to be conference finals or bust. And then after that, then we're talking about championship or bust. But this team has a lot of potential. And the league itself is in a kind of holding pattern when it comes to dominant players. Like there's not that one dominant player on that one dominant team that is going to be that difficult to beat. There's a lot of parity in this league. And so again, I hope you enjoyed the season. I hope you enjoyed the shit out of the season, because this is going to be the last season where you can kind of go into it without any expectations. After this year, everything else for the next 5 to 7 years is going to be attached with worrying about players, which players are going to come, which players are going to leave, worrying about injuries, worrying about, you know, the chemistry within the team. This was the great year's vibe team. Can that continue? I hope it does, but we've seen this time and time again in professional sports. Time, money, maturity, all that starts to kind of play a role in the chemistry of a team. And so I hope we enjoyed it. We had a great time. But what are you playing?
Graduation.
Oh, but yeah, you know, that's my little bow on, that's my little bow on top of this season. Like, I loved it. It was a great season. We got to see, like, you know, the Nick Gallo post-game interviews, you know, that mm-hmm. was great. And that was like a bunch of like just high school friends all together after a game and just, you know, celebrating. Is that going to continue into next year? I hope it does, you know, but the possibility of that not continuing into next year and these guys saying, oh, you know, I want to grow up. You know, I don't want that, you know, I don't want the dogs barking anymore because it kind of gets on my nerves now. Like, I'm pretty sure there gets a point where J-Dub says that.
Yeah, he did to grow up. At Target and Starbucks.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was exactly. Saying chill on the Target and Starbucks parking.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, there comes fair. A point where that where the guys grow up, and you know, and that's gonna happen. So, I enjoyed the season. I hope everybody else did, and enjoy the rest of the season from here on out. But also know that there's gonna be expectations attached to that. So,
yep, there you
and
go.
On that, well said, seniors.
Well said.
Yeah, man. Thunder have up. A good one, Alex.
All right.
Fellas, we are going to go ahead and take a quick break after that. When we come back, Tierney has an extensive list of players that the Thunder may target based on their needs. But we'll get to all that after we're from our sponsors.
Quick music break.
That's a vibe. I love that song. So fun. And we're back after that break. All right, so fellas. At the beginning of the season, Presti talked about how he wanted to see what this team could do. And with postseason came and gone, we have 10 games of data. We know roughly what the Thunder need to do in order to, you know, kind of take the next step forward moving on. And before we get into the list of players, I think that if you're like taking a consensus of like what Thunder fans say, I think a lot of people would say that we need a four because, A, it moves Dub back to his natural position at the three, and it keeps mm-hmm. Chet at the five. Ladies and gentlemen, we are keeping Chet at the five. It is happening. I don't know what to tell you. If you don't think that, if you don't think that, then you haven't been listening to Sam Presti. So I think that it's going to be a four. I definitely think it's somebody who needs to be able to rebound. I don't think it needs to be a rebounding specialist. We don't need – Andre Drummond at the four position starting alongside Chet Holmgren. He's still going to be somebody ideally that can, you know, match our play style in terms of either making decisions with the ball in his hands, being a shooter, whether that's like a play finisher, a guy that, you know, gets shots in the flow of the offense, and also a guy that could play good defense on top of being a good rebounder. Is there anything else that you guys would like to add on top of the team needs before we get into it?
That's it. That's what I was. That's I agree.
It's not necessarily just a strictly four. I think a four and a five make nine, and you could take 2 4.5s to get there. I say that as like Chet can go down a little bit. If you have a guy with a similar skill set to him, having two of that guy is not a bad thing. And there's a guy on this list that fits that mold that we could talk about that potentially we even tried to trade for before.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. See, we'll get into it. We'll get into it. All right, Tierney's got a list for us. It is very extensive. Let's see what we got.
Here's what I say. So I want to, full disclosure for people that are listening live, I want to make this, I'm trying to think of ideas to make into like YouTube shorts and like TikTok stuff. So I'm thinking part of this to make it go a little bit faster is Like, we don't have to like break down every single player. That would just take forever. I'm thinking we just go like 1 to 10, 10 being the like perfect fit for this team, and 1 being like, absolutely not, get rid of them. And we can just, some of them we can just hit fire and go to the next one. And some of them we can, like, if we want to break it down more, we can. Yeah. That's what I was feeling.
Rock and roll.
All right. First one, I think we know the answer to this. I just started with it. We've already talked about him a little
I'm
bit.
I'm not looking at Rory the list, Markkanen. By the way. So, like, yeah.
I'm just listening to you. That's what I want. I want it to be like, I don't want you guys to watch the list. I want you to get like first reactions. Mm-hmm. Lauri Markkanen, I think we can all agree. 10 out of 10.
I'm going to say 9 out of 10 just because defensively, you know, leaves a little bit to be desired. But yeah, definitely rebounding. Definitely, you know, fits offensively in terms of the shooting. He's definitely more of a play finisher, used as more of like a big Isaiah Joe in this offense, which sounds awesome. But also, you know, is a guy that is legitimately knocking down 40% from the 3-point line on almost 8 attempts a game while getting about 7 to 8 rebounds a game. Like, I'm never not going to be for that. So I'd say 9 just because of the defensive deficiencies. But like at the same time, if you have Dort, Shea just hounding people off ball, year 2 Dub, and then, or year 3 Dub, and year 2 Chet down there, like, I think Warrior's going to be fine. Like, he can hold up positionally, I think. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I think 9. Yeah. You know, we can come to an agreement on 9. All right. Jalen Johnson from the Atlanta Hawks.
See, I think stylistically he might fit even better than Lauri just because he does the shooting, he does the defense, he does the rebounding, and he's also really young. But he is slighter. He's not as tall as Lauri, so I'm going to give him an 8.5. And I also just – I think he's like – he might be the most unavailable player on this list.
Yeah, very unavailable. Didn't mention that.
I'd say 7. I still would like to see it a little more, but you definitely see the trajectory there for him.
That's fair.
He's
we'll round that to 8. On. 8 for Jalen. Kevin Durant, put him on here. Just mix that in. Moles is obviously a 10.
I'm a 10. Contract fits before all the extensions happen. Slides in well at the 4 spot. I know there are other reasons people, again, may not agree with me, and that's fine. This is a hill I'm willing to die on. If we have Kevin Durant this year, we're winning the title. And we're only going to be better next year, and we need to stack the deck. So, yeah.
All right.
10. I mean, freaking 10.
I'm going 8. I'll go 8 on this.
I think I'm going to go 8.5. Something doesn't feel genuine to me saying that Jalen Johnson would fit better than Kevin Durant, but yeah, I'll go 8.5 for KD offensively. I think that he can fit onto this team. You know, I know a lot of people kind of was rubbed the wrong way with his exit interview comments about saying he wasn't being used right, or not his exit interviews comments, his camp coming out and saying that he was frustrated with how he was used. And I think that, if anything, this playoffs showed also, you know, it didn't just expose the rebounding, but also showed we need somebody that can go and get a bucket, you know, besides Shea. Because, I mean, Shea is a superhero, and he's doing it against anybody at any given time. But if you have somebody as a pressure release valve, as a guy that can also go down there and do that, so defenses just can't key in on one guy, while also being a guy that can, you know, spread the floor from three and, you know, has – championship pedigree, one of the best players in the league, and also is a nice help side defender in Kevin Durant, then like, yeah, like you can't pass that up. I would be open to it.
We'll round that to a 9 then. 9 out of 10. Kyle Kuzma of the Washington Wizards. Mm. I'm gonna go 7.
I'm an 8.
I'm a 5. And the reason why is, yeah, he could go get his own. He could go get his own bucket, but I don't know his personality wise. Like, I don't know that he would fit into what we would do with our overall scheme. I don't know that he would be good enough defensively. Like, would he be able to create some highlights? Sure. Could he go get his own bucket when we need him to? Sure. But all the other things, I just don't know. You're talking fit, not just overall talent of a player, but fit. Yeah.
See, I think Kyle Kuzma is a really good defender when he actually tries to be. Like, you look at his Lakers, like back when he was playing for the Lakers, whenever they won the bubble championship, like, he was playing really good defense. I think that, you know, it's kind of hard to ask him to do that in Washington right now, but I think if you put him on a team that, especially, like, if you want to be on the court and you want to play and you want minutes, like, you're going to have to play defense. That's just how Mark Daigneault is. I think that he could be good. I like his passing. Can shoot a little bit. I don't think he's, like, super efficient. I think he's, like, 34%, if memory serves, on, like, 6 or 7 attempts per game. So that would definitely have to clean up a little bit, but definitely helps rebounding as well. So I like Kuz. I'm going to drop 7.5. We'll do that.
Okay. We'll round that to, like, 6.5 or 6. All right. Tobias Harris, who is probably not going to be with the 76ers anymore.
Nah, I'm good.
In that one.
I'm good.
Say 3. Nothing from Dylan.
I'm going to say
0.
I might put him honestly around what I had Kuzma, just because he does a lot of the other things well. He does provide some size. He has played a lot in the playoffs. Like, so I could give him that, but, like, it's a meh 5.
I'll say this. Like, if we're getting Tobias Harris, I don't want him starting at the 4. Like, I would rather him being, like, a bench piece. But at that point, like, I don't. You might run into another Gordon Hayward situation. Yeah,
exactly.
Situation. So I'm just like, yeah, I'd rather just pass.
Yeah. All right.
Just like Gordon Hayward would.
Yeah.
Ayo. Another Washington Wizard, Denny Avdija.
Schroeder.
Denny Avdija.
I mean, I don't know. I'll go 8. I think positionally, like, he gives you what you want. I don't think he's a great defender. He's a serviceable. He's got good size. He's also a serviceable shooter. I think he can extend plays, like, on the glass and can pass a little bit. But I don't personally see why people are, like, obsessing over him on the timeline. I think he's a solid player, but I don't think he's, like, a game changer at the 4 spot. So, yeah. What did I say? I think I said 7.5. I'll go 7.5.
I'm a little lower. I'll say 6.
I'll say 6.
I'm really a fan of him.
All right. Okay.
We'll round that to 6.
Sorry, I'm so high on Denny Avdija.
How dare you? Next is Evan Mobley of the Cleveland Cavaliers. I will go 5.
I said, no. I think Jalen Johnson's the most unavailable person on this list. I take it back. Evan Mobley's the most unavailable person on this list.
Oh, we've got a mix of very unavailable sprinkled.
He was the 4.5 guy I was talking about. Like, him and Chet would be beautiful basketball.
Yeah.
Just being able to do 5 out, both of them just hunting blocks. Like,
defense, forget
oh my
about
God,
it.
The length, like, you're just, So, like, it's a 10 for me just to see what we could do with that. Like, seriously. And the reports have come out. Shams talked about it, how we tried to trade up with Cleveland, how apparently his camp wanted us to be able to trade up to 3 to get him. And we just weren't able to get it done. Apparently things are good there in Cleveland, and, like, that's fine. But, talk about all the fits. He's, what, 22 years old?
Like, yeah.
That's surprising. Yeah. Young.
Sign me up for that.
I'd go 9 for Mobley. I'd like for him to be able to shoot a little bit better. But, yeah, I mean, defensively, if it's like a glove, rebounding's great for his size. It really was highlighted when in the games that Jared Allen didn't get a play in the playoffs. Like, he was putting up, like, 12, 13 rebounds. Like, it was nobody's business. So, yeah, I'm with it.
We'll round that to a 9.5. I'm going to pretend that you guys didn't hear me say 5 there, because I didn't realize how well he was rebounding. So we'll say 9.5. Next is Evan Mobley, also Cleveland Cavaliers.
You just said Evan Mobley.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jared Allen. I missed Jared Allen. I thought I blanked. Jared Allen of the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Topher, we could. The salary cap, we'd afford it. Jared Allen, I'm gonna lead this off. I think he's a seven. His talent is much greater than that. Like, if we didn't have a Chet, he would be the type of five that would like traditionally fit in really well. But playing him and Chet, like, he obviously, Chet would kick down to the four, and it would complicate a lot of our spacing and a lot of what we want to do. But a lot of our deficiencies would be completely wiped out adding Allen to the fold. So
yeah, I'm gonna go up like a six here. I think he's like, he's such a throwback big man, and I don't see a place for a guy like that on our team, personally. But I'll go six just because, like you said, the talent's there. Like, great rebounder, great rim protector, great finisher around the rim. But that's it. That's all he does.
Do that.
Great at what he does.
Six and a half for that. Great at what he does. We talked about him in our group chat a little bit a couple days ago. Michael Porter Jr. Again, highly unavailable probably, but throw him out there.
Yeah, it's potential. Shout out Ez. It's fun there, Barhaney. He was the one that kind of put this out there about, you know, where does Denver go from here? Kind of pointed out in the chat that, you know, they're a second apron team and not a lot of ways to change the roster. You know, they're going to have to pay KCP, I think, is what the case is. So a lot of people were saying MPJ might be on the cutting room floor. And I said that I really want him. Like, stylistically, I think he's awesome. Like, 6'10", good rebounder, great shooter on high volume. Definitely a play finisher, not a guy that's going to, you know, make a lot of decisions with the basketball. Like, he gets that ball, it's probably flying. But, you know, as we saw in this playoffs, we could probably use a play finisher or two on the team, because there was a lot of times the guys were kind of passing the ball into oblivion. So I would like him, you know, stylistically, but like, if you look at his contract, and Dolan pointed out, you know, he still has that back thing. Like, he's been fortunate recently, but like, you know, he still has that back thing. It gives me a little bit more pause. So I'm going to go with a 6.5.
Yeah. I was thinking 9 because of just the talent and the, what he can bring. But yeah, the off court stuff with his injuries and contract, I think I ding him a couple points. I'll say 7.
Yeah, I'll go with a 7 too. Presti did have meetings with him during the draft process.
That's true. That's true. And Trae Young. I remember that being the headline.
So
interesting. We talked about him a lot at the trade deadline. He's back again. Nick Claxton, Brooklyn Nets. I will say also 7. Trying to go rapid fire.
I said Jared Allen was a 7. I'd give Claxton a 5.5.
Yeah, I was about to. He's younger than Allen. Doesn't have as much meat on his bones. I will say, I gave Allen a 6, so I think I'm gonna give him a 6 as well. I don't think he's as good, but he's he's younger, so.
James Wiseman.
Negative
James
1.
Wiseman. Whoa.
Yeah, I mean, going back to the Tobias Harris thing, like, if you're getting him, not I'd rather have him on the bench. But, yeah, like, no, I'm good.
This is probably another one that's not feasible, but OG Anunoby. I do like OG a lot.
I think he fits, like, you know, defensive wise, you know, the shooting leaves a bit to be desired, but it's definitely there. But man, that guy cannot stay healthy. He's going to be demanding a bag this offseason, and I just I don't want any part of that. So what did I say? I said 7. Yeah. He's definitely going to get it.
Oh yeah. We will probably not have the money for it. Cam Johnson.
North Cam Carolina Johnson. Player. He's definitely a negative. No, I'm just
all right.
Cam Very Johnson's rude. probably a 7.5, probably in there.
Yeah. There's definitely some holes he doesn't. There's still some flaws in our lineup if I think if he's the starting four for sure. I'll be honest about that.
Yeah. I mean, what's he do rebounding wise?
I think it's fine. I don't think he's like, I think that's like the main reason why it wouldn't be like a great, the perfect fit. Just because
he doesn't play like in the paint five. A lot. Yeah.
Yeah. He's very much perimeter focused. 4.3. So it wouldn't really help.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's even worse, I thought. So would give us some extra shooting, but I don't think really the, what we're our main goal here is to sort of help Chet with the rebounding. I don't think he does that at all. So I'll say six and a half.
Yeah, I'll say. I think I will also say like 6.5. Because, I mean, hey, great floor spacer, solid defender, doesn't give you much rebounding wise, and doesn't do much other than shoot. So.
There we go. Isaiah Stewart.
4.
Like 2. Yeah. Good 2. I'm not a big Isaiah Stewart guy. He's kind of in like the Andre Drummond-esque type of player for me.
Yeah. I guess I'll say 5. I mean, he's still young. He started to develop a 3 at the beginning of the year, but definitely not like a passer or anything like that. Good defender. Big guy can rebound, but yeah, limited. I don't think I'd start him at the 4.
Yeah, he seems like a 5. Wendell Carter Jr.
I'd start him at the 4.
Yeah,
I like him as a 4. Yeah,
I'd like Wendell Carter Jr. He was the guy that I was liking around the trade deadline. I'll go like, I'll go like 7.5. Yeah,
7.
Defensively, he's good. Yeah, he can rebound.
Mm-hmm.
And shoot a little bit, kind of limited offensively, but yeah, I like.
I think he had a pretty good night against us when we were here for the meetup, if I remember correctly.
No, he didn't play.
I didn't. Okay, I'm totally misremembered that.
He warmed up. I remember he warmed up, but yeah, he didn't play.
I put 2 and 2 together there. Okay, so about pretty good, 7.5. Okongwu. From the Hawks.
5. Just based on potential upside. I don't know.
Yeah, I give like 6.5.
I like him.
I do like Congo. I think he's a good defender, good rebounder, but yeah, he doesn't give you much offensively at all. Yeah. He's not a guy that I would start at all next to Chet. We're talking about like, you know, our big needs is like the starting 4, but you know, we could use a backup. A big man as well. So, like, if that's what you're trying to acquire, I'd rather have him than James Wiseman, Tobias Harris. Like,
yeah.
Or Isaiah Stewart. So,
yeah. Yeah. I'd probably say like a, yeah.
5. If we're talking like that, I'll give him like 7.
Yeah. Valanciunas, Bigachunas.
Nah.
It's kind of, again, the Drummond thing.
Yeah. Well, yes, but no. Like, I give Valanciunas a 6 there, maybe a 6.5. He's got a lot in his bag offensively that could help in certain matchups that he's a big that can, you know, he wouldn't kill us offensively. That would move Chet away, but it wouldn't kill our
spacing. I just don't see him as a 4, though. Like,
well, no, Chet would be in the 4 in those type of lineups, but we saw Chet play with Jay Will. We saw Chet play with Jay Will in stretches, and they did okay in the playoffs. Like, Valanciunas is an upgrade from Jay Will there. So, yeah.
It's fair.
Yeah.
I'd go a little lower. I'd say 4.
5. For me, I think that, you know, if the Pelicans didn't play us in the playoffs, I mean, we already kind of played them off the floor, but – like, they were phasing him out towards the end of the year, the Pelicans were, kind of out of, like, the rotation before Zion got hurt. So, I'm kind of out on Valanciunas, but that's just me.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Robert Williams, the third.
I don't know if he can stay healthy, man. I mean, he's a fine rim protector, you know, Nick Claxton, Jared Allen, like in that regard. But yeah, I don't trust his health. I'm going to say six. Well, I gave the other one six. So I'm going to say like a 5.5.
A 4.5 for him.
Yeah, I was thinking more like four. Just, I think if he was healthy, it'd be like a 6.5 or 7. But yeah, four.
Great. Like, you know, if we didn't have Chet, like, he's a great,
really good rim protector. Yeah. He was so good in Boston. It was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Mikal Bridges.
I want to say I gave Laurie a 9. I gave KD 8.5. Or no, I gave KD a 9. And then I gave Jalen Johnson 8.5. I'd also give him an 8.5. He's not as young as Jalen Johnson, but he's the guy that can do a little bit more with the ball in his hands in terms of, like, you know, creating for himself and his teammates. He's a guy that we've seen produce at a champion, or not championship level, but finals, NBA finals level as a role player, as a 3-and-D guy. I think that I talked about the last podcast, like, if the Rockets really offered them their future draft compensation for Mikal Bridges and they turned it down, like, they're nuts. He's not a number one, but I think that he could be a great number three and a phenomenal number four. So, yeah, I love Bridges. I mean, you guys know I love Bridges.
8 for me, solidly. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he'd be a good four, too. I think he could fit that role a little bit. So
I'll go 8.2. I mean, honestly, and that Dub would probably move to the 4.
Yeah, he would probably still be 4. But I mean, I think they're the same.
It's like 3 and 4, sort of it's the same position at that point. I got 3 more. These aren't, well, maybe these are good. Maybe you guys like these. But this last first. Out of these last 3, Isaiah Hartenstein from the Knicks.
I will give him like a 6.5, 7 because I think he's really good defensively. He can rebound, but he's also got really good passing chops for a big man. So
I was impressed with his playoff series for sure.
I'm going to give him a 6.5. So
I give him a 7. I think he'd be a great fit for us and he wouldn't be super expensive. Like, honestly, it wouldn't shock me if he's high on Presti's list.
But I also, I stand fast on, like, Chet's still the 5, even if we get Isaiah Hartenstein. Like, I want him to be, like, our backup 5. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wouldn't fit that 4 position. Steven Adams. Wouldn't be the 4, but listen, get him in there, get some rebounds.
Vibe.
I'm going 6.5.
I'm going 6. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll go 6.5 just because, you know, he's he'd be great for vibes. He'd be so good. Wait, if he was on this team with all the barking and crap,
imagine with the post game so interviews, fun. The post game interviews would have gone so much harder.
Yeah. No, it would have been amazing. But no, I love Steve. You know, hope he's able to recover, but it also seems like the Rockets traded for him for a reason. You know, kind of be their anchor alongside Şengün. So will be interesting. But I'd love to bring it back. You know, I think I tweeted about it as a guy to be a backup big, an enforcer, a mentor for Chet, and also just vibes again. Like, no better vibes guy in the league, I don't think.
Yeah. Last one, I think Moles mentioned it before the podcast, threw him in here. Paul George, just get him back from the Shea trade. Put him back in this lineup.
He's a free agent.
Get him for cheap, maybe. I don't think you will, but
nah, he's definitely
decent salary.
I think he either stays in LA just because, like, he's from there and he loves it there, or he goes to Philly because, you know, his ties with Embiid and whatnot. But I wouldn't hate it if he came to OKC. I think I'll give him like a 7.5 because, like, stylistically, he fits great. Like, he can rebound, he can pass the ball, he can shoot.
I love it fit wise.
can defend as, like, you know, like the, at this point in his career, like the third or fourth guy on the perimeter. It's just like Cone said last time, just injuries, man. Like, I don't know how you could pay him with any kind of level of trust on injury wise. So, yeah, I'll give him 7.5.
8 for me. Well, it's interesting because Kyrie got that extension, and Paul George, I guess, was offered the same something, and he declined it because I guess the money wasn't going to be exactly the same or whatever. Very interesting that they would place their claim on Kawhi over Paul George when Kawhi was the one that's not really available. So,
yeah,
very interesting. Ooh.
That is weird. I did want to bring this up. You know, I brought it up in the last pod. Topher also brought it up here. Julius Randle.
Oh, yeah. Did not have him on my list.
As the guy. Mold, what do you think? No. I'll let you go first.
So before he got hurt, we were sitting around Jerry's table, and I asked the question. I was like, "Could Julius Randle, does he have a viability to be a top 30 player in the NBA? And honestly, you could argue that. I think he's got a fit. I think he's an 8 with us. Maybe it's not exactly so much on the defensive end, but offensively, like, okay, play off of him. And he's going to make good decisions. And he gets rebounds. He's always a threat to be a triple-double guy. Like, what do you need him to do for you? Especially when he's not having to be the alpha. He can do it offensively. And I think he's a good enough help defender that, like, all he's got to do is funnel people to Chet. That's essentially what we do. We put pressure on the perimeter and we funnel people to Chet. And occasionally the back door kills us. We saw that in the Dallas series with some of those lobs and stuff. But, like, Randle would be incredible for us.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Julius as a fit because, you know, all the reasons you said, he's a guy that, you know, I talked about, you know, in the playoffs, you need somebody that can also go get their own bucket. Julius is a guy that can do that, can pass a little bit. Rebounding monster. Like, I didn't even realize he was averaging, like, 10 rebounds a game before he got hurt. Like, he's stupid. You know, he's been an all-star in this league. He's been an all-NBA player in this league. Not a lot of championship pedigree, not championship playoff pedigree, but if you look at his contract, he's making $30 million next year, and then he's got a player option for $32 million the next year, which is a lot, but it's not a lot. But also, even if he takes that player option, his contract's done by the time Dub and Chet are up for their extensions. So, you know, the money kind of matches up timeline wise. So, and of course, you know, he played at Kentucky, so I'd be in favor.
Of course.
Yeah, I think I'd give him an 8.
Yeah, I agree what Maddie was saying offensively. Like, I like him a lot, but yeah, I don't know. I think what he lacks defensively pulls me down a little bit. I'll say a 7.
Gotcha.
That's all we got.
7.5.
That's the last one on my list. We did it all.
Yeah, no, I'm with it, man. Yeah, I mean... It just goes to show you, I mean, that's a lot of names. And there's other names out there we didn't talk about.
Like, even more we didn't yet, yeah.
You know, if you're looking for, like, backup bigs, that opens up a whole new market. Kelly Olynyk is another guy that, like, I still think would be awesome for this team. Obviously, you know, has played with Shea and Dort, will play with Shea and Dort this offseason in the Olympics. So, you know, there's a lot of numbers, a lot of different ways you can go. But, you know, it just goes to show you, we got options. And not only do we have options, we have space for these options. Assets. We have both financially and roster spots. And we have the assets to go out and get basically whoever we want. I mean, honestly, if the Wolves flame out in the Western Conference Finals against the Mavericks and, you know, they're looking for a scapegoat and they want to blame Karl-Anthony Towns, I wouldn't mind having Karl-Anthony Towns on this team after what he's done in the playoffs. He was playing great defense on Nikola Jokic, making it difficult for him while still providing, you know, a lift offensively. If that's the type of player you're getting, he'd fit phenomenally next to Chet. But that's besides the point. That's a different day. You know, we've been going about an hour 15. it's the off season pods. We was going to talk a little bit of draft here, but we've gone a little bit long. I just want to go ahead and say we are going to be kicking off our draft coverage starting Friday. The draft connoisseur himself, Tyler Rucker, the conductor of chaos at No Ceilings, will be joining us to not even as a primer, just as like ushering us into draft season. Because I went back and looked like at our like past couple seasons we've been talking draft. Like we're like a month behind at this point because we were in the playoffs. So we won't be able to have as many draft episodes as we have the past few years, but still lining up heavy hitters. I got Rucker on Friday. I got Metcalf on Tuesday. I got Bryce Simon of the Game Theory podcast with Sam Vecini the following Friday. So we're going to have a lot of awesome guys talking draft on here, dissecting the different angles the Thunders can take. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that are saying this is a terrible draft and you should just trade out of it. Just like any draft, there's value to be had. There's going to be diamonds in the rough. There's going to be players that you can, you know, trust, like play on teams that are ready. There's not a lot of star power, but there's a lot of rotation power in this draft. So excited to break it down.
Wasn't Giannis drafted in a weak draft class?
Good point, man. Said.
And I'll tell you what, if there's a GM that loves a weak draft class, it's Sam Presti.
He was drafted, and he was drafted not in the top five, Giannis, that was. Interesting.
Yeah.
We have a pick in the 12s.
Pick 12, yeah. Yeah, 2013 draft, man, Sam Presti. That was the well that Sam Presti just couldn't get enough of, so. You know, Sam Presti's going to do his research on that. You know, and it's going to be awesome whenever we have like eight pods deep of the draft. And then, you know, we get the notification that we've actually traded pick 12 for another player and the draft doesn't matter for
it's
us.
Gonna be so sick.
It's going to be awesome. But you
that bomb's going to hit. It's so different. It's going to hit so different.
I love it because I think it means we're getting a good player in return. So, but yeah. Draft coverage starting Friday. Be there, be square. It's going to be awesome. Real excited to talk to Rucker. He's really excited about this class, and he always brings the energy. He matches our energy, so it's going to be great. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and conclude this podcast. If you are in the stream, if you are in the comment section, whether you're a Thunder fan or a Mavericks fan who is still in our comment section for some reason, like
Shout out haters.
Go ahead and like the stream. Go and like this video. That would be phenomenal. Subscribe to our channel. We are over 500 subscribers. We are on the race to 1K now. You know, we would love to see that hit. Alex is joining us for the outros. That's cool. What about
we're ending right now? Just in time.
real quick, do we want to just throw out our predictions? Rapid fire.
Our predictions for the draft?
No.
You asked for NBA. 12.
Oh, yeah. You're right. My fault for I want to ask you guys this. Who are we rooting for in the Western Conference Finals? I don't want either one of these teams to win.
Nobody. It's all hate watching.
The Meteor?
I don't know. In Portugal. I actually do kind of lean Timberwolves. I don't know. Minnesota is just one of those cities that's like, they just never win anything. So it's like, you know.
Not me, because the whole Ant versus SGA.
I don't know. I'm kind of over that. I don't know. I don't really care.
I don't care, but I do.
I'll say this.
Fair enough.
I'll say this though. The Wolves, because of Connelly taking the swing to get Rudy Gobert under immense scrutiny. I like to see GMs take a swing and it pay off.
Yeah.
Especially in a small market. So that's not hatred for the Mavs. Like the Mavs, you know, have a lot of potential against the Wolves. I do think it goes 6 or 7. But
it's gonna be a fun series.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
and I mean the Celtics East, probably in 5. I think tonight after if the Pacers won, I was going to say maybe Pacers in like 6 or 7. But yeah, I think that was their one shot. I think it's
so here's my thing. In the end, I want the Celtics to win because I don't want it to feel like a season to where if the Thunder just would have gotten over the Mavs, They could have made it all the way to the finals and then, you know, played a Pacers team and beat them and got a championship. So, you know, the one team that I do think is, you know, a level above the rest is going to be Boston. So I hope they do win.
Yeah. Now, I do got some Celtics fans in my life that, you know, I would like for them to win for them. But narrative wise, like, I'd love to see the Pacers win. I love Tyrese Haliburton. I love the way that they play basketball. Their offense is fun to watch when it's hitting. So I would love to see the Pacers win. But either way, like, it's going to be a fun and exciting playoffs on both sides. Like, I thought the Boston series might be a little bit more one-sided, but, you know, we've seen them all year play down their competition, and it seems like they're even doing that in the Eastern Conference Finals, and the Pacers are a team, they'll get hot, man. They'll get hot in a hurry.
Yeah.
So,
oh yeah,
it's going to be a great remainder of the playoffs.
High-scoring games.
Game four, though, they're getting Pingus Tingus back, so.
Are they really? Is that official?
Potentially, like it's that's the report.
He served right his now. Minimum of several games out of the lineup.
sounds like a gambling suspension.
That's awesome. Well, yeah. Anyways, like I said, subscribe to our channel. Hit the notification bell so you don't miss out when we go live. Follow us on Twitter at KC Topic Thunder. Subscribe to us anywhere you listen to your podcast. Leave us a five-star rating, positive review. We would appreciate that. I said appreciate that, whatever that means. Friday,
appreciate
Tower Rucker breaking down the NBA draft class of 2024.
Draft season, baby.
Usher in draft season. It's going to be a great time. But until then, y'all have a great night. God bless. Hoop when you can. And as always,
Thunder up.
Thunder up.
Thunder up.
Thunder the Dumber up.
Thank you for listening to the Topic Thunder podcast. Our podcast is available to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play, or anywhere else you listen to your podcast. Be sure to leave us a five-star rating and a positive review, and follow us on Twitter at OKC Topic Thunder.
Thunder up!